Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Listen. Listen. God is calling through word, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, joy, joy. These are the first words of the hymn, Listen, God is Calling. God is calling through the word. God is inviting. Do you know that each of you has a call from God? Each of you, as you listen and pray, will discover there's a vision for you, a purpose for you in your life's journey, where you are right now. And God calls each of us to follow his way of life. And with this call, there's often a vision for ministry. And the vision, as we hear today, if we follow in God's way, gives us joy, laughter, happiness. You know, I promised John I wouldn't tell this joke, but it was so great I had to. Three little pigs went to dinner. And the waiter comes over and says, okay, he says, what does the first little pig want? To drink. I'll take a Sprite. What does the second little pig want? I'll take a beer. He was Lutheran. And the third little pig said, what would you like? And said, lots and lots of water. Okay. And the waiter comes for the entree and says, okay, what would you like to the first little pig? I'd like to have a steak. The second little pig said, I'd like to have fish. Third little pig, he said, what would you like? He said, well, I would like to have lots and lots of water. I said, okay. And then the waiter comes after the entree and comes in for the dessert. What would you like the first little pig? I'd like to have cheesecake. The second little pig, he said, I want chocolate cake. The third little pig, he said, well, what would you like? He said, I'd like to have lots and lots of water. So the waiter comes with the bill and everything. He said, what? The third little pig, I don't understand. Why do you want all this water? He says, well, how else will I wee all the way home? Okay, little joke. I guess that's, some people are frozen chosen, but some of you laughed. Okay, that's good. You know, but there's vision for us. And we get in touch with that vision, there is joy. Adam and Eve, let's go back to the very beginning. Adam and Eve, God had a vision for them. They had a dream. He put them in a garden, and they were to name the animals and love the animals, and they were to take care of the garden, and they were running around naked, and they didn't care because they were innocent. They were innocent, and God was there, and they'd have a cocktail hour with God at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They walked with God, and everything was fine, and they had limitations. So God said, I love you, you're my creatures, I love you, and these are creation, and you can have dominion over them, but don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they went beyond what they were supposed to be doing. They went beyond what they were able to do, what they were capable of understanding. And it caused all kinds of problems. They overstepped their calling. They wanted to be in charge and know things. They weren't ready to know and be in charge of at that time. They followed a different voice than God's voice. And they lost sight of God's vision, God's dream for them. They forgot the dream, and they were no longer interested in following God's call for them. They wanted to do what wasn't their calling. They lost vision, and it caused division. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake. There was division, division, division. The same is true for us. God created us with a call. God created us with a purpose, and there are boundaries to that purpose. God gives us a vision. Yet, from the world, we get different voices, different visions. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these worldly visions and voices are beautiful in themselves, but they have limitations. The problem is when we think that these voices will give us everything that we desire or need deep in our hearts, because they never fully fulfill. Voices come at us like the voice of pleasure or power or prestige or popularity or possessions or prosperity or status or security and safety. Nothing wrong with those things. But if that's the all in all, you're missing the point, because there's only one God. God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. The world calls us to focus on ourselves and calls us to satisfy our own needs, our own desires, our own wants, you know, to say that we don't need to repent. We don't need to ask for forgiveness. We have it all figured out. And the world tricks us into believing lies. Lies. Lies about God. Lies about our country, like elections that were stolen that really weren't. Lies. God's calling is always different. It roots in the truth of God. God's love for the universe. God's love for the world, God's love for our country, God's love for our state, God's love for our city, God's love for our family, God's love for us. And God's vision and dream of shalom, peace, interconnectedness, integrity with God and each other, peace, working together for justice and mercy for all people and all creatures. I mean, our Declaration of Independence, what's that saying? Equality for all people, all people. And in those days, it just meant male landowners, you know. But now, we, as we evolve, we see, no, that's equality is for men, women, black, white, red men, yellow men, all people, all people. God has gifted us with certain abilities and affinities and aspirations that if we use them, we'll have joy. We'll find the purpose. We'll know that we're following in God's way and the world will be a better place. It's God's purpose that our lives have purpose and meaning. That you wake up in the morning with a mission. That's why Jesus called the 70 disciples, empowered them, taught them, gave them God's dream, God's vision, and their purpose to share God's dream, God's vision, to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is now. Repent, turn around, face the good news, go to that higher consciousness of God, God's vision, telling everyone the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. And all are invited to this kingdom, and all are invited to live in this reality. This God reality. And in the power of God, they were to show the kingdom of God was near by doing things in the world. Curing the sick, caring for the poor, proclaiming the good news. And if the disciples were rejected, they were to wipe off the dust from their feet. Because no matter if they were rejected or accepted, the kingdom of God has come near. That's the truth. That can't be changed. There is good news for us, good news for others, when we are living in harmony with God's call for us and God's mission to care for others. And the discernment, figuring out in prayer, through Bible reading, through the Holy Spirit, maybe through dreams, through the Bible, where God's calling you. This might not be clear at first. You know, when I was in college, I thought my call was to be a secondary school English teacher. And I got a call to teach at Laurel High School around Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And but as I taught, it wasn't right for me. Something was missing. My greatest joy was working at my local church, Trinity Elwood City. And working with the catechism program, working at Lent with the youth group to have a play. I was a lector there. I read. I helped. I was a communion assistant. And this gave me joy. So I thought, and I said, well, I have this teaching job. They're hard to get. And I'm getting good income. I have security. But I feel this tug in the other direction. And even while I was teaching in those days, we had on Wednesday afternoon a Bible club. And I taught the kids the Bible. And we were allowed to do that. And people told me, Fred, you want to be what? A preacher? You? A preacher? I mean, come on. They're pretty stuffy and uptight, and you have a teaching profession. I mean, you get off the weekends, you get off three months in the summer, you get Christmas off. I mean, it's a good position. And pastor's life's not easy. Yet I was not at peace. Something kept tugging at my heart. And although teaching is a fine profession, I wasn't called to that. So I went to seminary. And it's kind of like when I met Joan. You know it. You know this is from God. This is true. And I found purpose for my life. I heard my call. Although the first week we were there, I used to golf in those days. And my friend and I were shagging balls by the chapel. And the president of the seminary came and said, couldn't you be spending your time in a more purposeful way? So we put the golf clubs away. Now, and I found, even as a preacher, I could teach in this church. I love teaching and proclaiming God's word. Now, there are other people who are wonderful Christian teachers, and that is their call. And there are wonderful Christian doctors and lawyers and podiatrists and garbage collectors and scientists and CPAs and construction workers and venture capitalists and farmers and CEOs and accountants and musicians and landscapers and engineers. And they're all following God's call, but in your own unique way. We're all called to know God's love. We're all called to proclaim the gospel, but we are all individuals. We do it all in our unique ways. You can reach people with the gospel in ways that I can't, because they see the caller, and some people have baggage about that, but they see you. They say, wow, you love Jesus. You go to church. Don't tell me about that. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a monk. We're all in this together. We're all baptized. Yet to get in touch with God's call, we need to make that our first order of business, no matter what we're doing. What's God's desire for us? What is God calling us to? Where does God call us, and where's our joy and passion? Our congregation has a calling to love God and neighbor through prayer and worship and learning and loving and serving. And I am convinced that when we follow this calling, on an individual as well as a communal congregational level, God gives us the gift to do ministry, and we know joy. We know joy in our hearts. Even though sometimes it's tough, we know joy because we know that we're following in God's way. Look at what happens to the 70. What does St. Luke tell us? They returned from their mission, the 70. They returned with joy, praising God for the power they saw God working through them. They saw they had power over demons. They saw they had power to heal people. Satan fell. They experienced the power of that the enemy who came at them but said, okay, devil, hit me with your best shot. You can't, because I have the Holy Spirit on my side. And they weren't hurt. They stepped on, I wouldn't try it, but stepped on scorpions. I mean, that was tough with sandals on. Because when you listen to God's call and participate in his dream, you also receive God's power. God's power. And nothing can stand against God's power. The gates of hell cannot prevail against God's power. So as a congregation, we are God's spiritual family, seeking where is God calling us. What is God's vision for us together and vision for us individually? And as we do that, we will know God's power and presence and joy. But if we act in ways that make us more like a business than a spiritual family, just going about our business, we will end up being a church without joy. If we try to discern God's will and vision and listen for his calling, we will come a church of joy. But if we don't, then it'll be, well, I think we should do this. Well, I think we should do that. Well, I think we should do that. I think we should do that. And it becomes more ego and divisive. We will become conflicted, a divided church. And sadly, then, we might just be a church in name only, but not in soul. That's why it's so important to listen. Listen for God in everything. You may not realize it, but God speaks to us all the time. Why do you think it's like I'm saying, come on, where did you see God this week? And people are more and more getting sensitized to where God is in their lives. See, obedience to God comes from two Latin words. Ob means to listen. Adare, listen. To listen through to God's voice in the situation. The Holy Spirit gives us our ability to receive and hear God's voice. The problem is, we often get distracted and too busy, or we get stuck in this passion over here, or this passion over here, or this hate over here, or this dislike over here, or what we're against but not what we're for, either as individuals or as a church. So how do we listen? These are things I try to do, and you try to do. Say, don't read about prayer. Don't think about it. Pray. God is listening. Pray. Worship as you're doing today. Praise God through hymn and word and song and psalm and prayer. A sensitivity to God's word. But the only way you get sensitive to God's word is to read God's word on if not a daily basis, on a regular basis. So the Bible becomes your second language. You get a sense of the Bible and how the word is alive and how Jesus Christ is really your Savior. And then to act. Act in faith. Act knowing that you might make mistakes. Act knowing that maybe what you're doing, it won't be come to fruition in a year, 2 years. Maybe it's 5 years down the road. Maybe it's 10 years down the road. But if you act in God's name, God is acting in ways that are wonderful and mysterious. And they reflect love, joy, and peace. When you know love, joy, and peace, you know you're on the right track. Then if you need to decide as a congregation on a certain situation, then let's get a little past Robert's rules of order, okay? Let's say, if you believe that this is God's will for us, say aye. If you don't believe it's God's will for us, say nay. Say nay. But the key is being God's people, is to ground it in God's call, listening for God's voice. With the many voices out there, listen for God's voice. And as we do, God gifts our giftedness with his presence and power and purpose, and we know joy. Listen. Listen. God is calling through word, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, joy. Joy. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.